Father, we just want to thank you for Anna, and we want to thank you for Simon and the children. Father, we want to thank you for the provocation in the best way that Anna is to us. Father, we just ask that you will bless her this morning as she speaks to us, that, Father, that there will be an impartation from her, from you to us. And Father, we just ask that you'll give her a huge blessing this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're starting a few minutes early, so that means I can go on and on. In preparing for today, I'm sort of thinking about finding a voice. And for those of you that were at the Cafe Connection last night, I was talking about politics. So most of it's going to be about politics. We're going to look at a few of the practical things that and benefits to being part of a political party. And then look at the theology a little bit as well, if that's okay. And I think I was quite excited writing this and talking to myself a lot. So it is a bit of a loose connection of points. And I think as well, I'm still working through a lot of the things that I think about politics. And this is the first chance I've had to talk about it. So it's kind of a brain dump that you're getting today. But it's exciting. So I'm going to try and slow myself down by recording some action points and some prayer points, which I thought might work well. It'll stop me gabbling on and on. So I'm told that you've all got Bibles on your phones now. So if anyone's able to look up Isaiah 11, please, that would be great. And then Isaiah 58 as well. Perhaps I should say this side of the room, Isaiah 11. This side, Isaiah 58, please. Yes, you've beaten the people on their phones. So verses 2-7, please.
I forgot what chapter.
Isaiah 11.
11.
Yes, you might do that.
The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cow.
Is that 11? Yeah.
No, not yet. It's 8. Do you want me to go on? Do you want me to stop?
What did I say? 2-7. Yeah, that's
two
right.
Seven.
Yeah, 2-7. That's what I said that wrong. Okay, so this passage starts off talking about Jesus, about wisdom and knowledge resting on him. And it's a verse that I've been praying for myself, really, since I lived in Uphaven, so whenever that would have been, 5 years ago maybe, in terms of running the charity. So I run Women Without Roofs, I think probably most of you know that. And in that, I have to make a lot of decisions about how we spend our money. And I need wisdom and knowledge, really. And then there's a verse in there as well about Jesus judging, not by what he sees, but by the knowledge given to him. So the other word that's also been with me for a long time is unseen, and how the unseen have no voice and they need to be spoken up for. And then finally, there's a bit in that passage about the wolf and the lamb and Jesus as a lion. And I think this is my translation kind of picture given to me through it. Is about the church. We're not called just to be the lamb, the sacrifice that gives up everything to save the poor. We're also called to be this lion, to be roaring, and to have a voice that shouts out on their behalf. And it's getting those two together, and it's not easy, but that's what I'm striving for. So that is the verse that I'm kind of using to draw myself into politics, really, to develop this voice, to develop myself as a lion, which sounds very exciting. So Isaiah 58, just one verse here, verse 6, please. Somebody on this side got it?
Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke.
Okay, and that passage then goes on about how your light will then dawn like the day spring. So it's a kind of day spring thing. So again, it's looking at injustice, unrighteousness, and addressing those and how we're called to do that, really. And it's my feeling that the church has kind of served and served and served, but it has lost its voice. Archbishop Desmond Tutu has this image of bodies drifting along a river, and that the church has been good at getting these bodies out of the river, but it hasn't been so good at going upstream and seeing what's happening, who's pushing those bodies in, what is going on up there that's causing them to drift by. And that's a challenge, isn't it? So I suppose through all of this, I feel called to addressing inequality. And I see that more and more as systemic, not just happening by accident. And I've now done my master's, I think, since I last saw you. And I think what I learned can be summed up rather neatly as we're playing a kind of game of Monopoly. And the developed countries of the world get to go around the Monopoly board, and every time they pass go, they get £400, £300. They do well. And the poor countries go around this board, and they just get £100 each time they go around. And it's just as if the rules of the game are set differently for these two sets of countries. And we get excited, don't we, when the poor countries get together and they manage to club together and buy Old Kent Road and Whitechapel, you know, the brown places, and we think, great, development's working, they're doing something, but actually the game just continues and they are just lagging behind constantly, never catching up. So yes, that's a whole master's in a in one paradigm. There you go, you got it. But that's what I feel called to address, is the rules now, rather than just you know, helping from the bottom. I mean, that's important too, don't get me wrong. I don't know whether anyone caught the Brandon Paxman interview on Newsnight. Did anyone see that? You can get it on YouTube if you didn't. I'll skip past if no one saw it at all. No, everyone's looking bland. Russell Brand basically goes really kind of mad at Jeremy Paxman. And he shows real passion, I think, though, for understanding that the world is wrong. But unfortunately, he decides that he's not going to vote because of this, and therefore he won't get involved in the system. But actually, I think as Christians, you know, we've got to get involved in the system. We're not going to change it just by having a rant and a moan. So this lion isn't the kind of lion that's just roaring on a hill. It is actually going down to devour and to change things and to take action. First action point. So in my role of thinking about politics, one of the first things that happened was listening to Dave Landrum at New Wine. So I'm going to plug New Wine here. You should all think about coming to New Wine. Yeah, that's when I relax. We had such a funny conversation last night with the Stambergs about how I relax at New Wine. Basically, I grill you all.
That's really
going to
encourage them.
You want to come and see me. So Dave Landrum was the, I think he's changed jobs now, he's some sort of political person at the Evangelical Alliance, and he spoke a couple of times at New Wine just about how Christians could get involved in politics, probably similar to what I'm saying today actually, and talking a little bit about the practicalities and why we should be doing it. So on entering politics, it is a compromise. You've got to find a party that you can align yourself with, and I've chosen Labour, but to be fair, all of them fall well short of the kingdom of God. You are not going to find the kingdom of God kind of out there in the manifesto of a political party. And it's learning to compromise. And just as we all come to church and we kind of all get along reasonably well together, but we do have different opinions, don't we, about things. And it's the same in political parties. So I've chose Labour because they value solidarity, social responsibility, social justice, and addressing inequality. But I felt I really had to seek it out, having grown up in the southeast in a sort of Tory area. Parents always voting Tories, more culturally, I think, rather than anything ideological. It was just a kind of journey to really understand what Labour stood for. So, and, you know, I'm not by any means advocating that you should all join Labour, but especially in Chippenham, I think, and Calne, because it is a Tory area. So if you want to have power and voice, then, and you think you empathise with what the Tories think, then by all means join them, because you're more likely to have some power and get your voice heard. So online, there's a really useful tool called Political Compass, where you can answer questions, and through the kind of survey you then come out with a little map of where you sit, whether you're left or right, dictatorial or liberal. There you go. You can email me with your answers. But it was really interesting because my parents, who always voted Tory, they came out really quite left-wing as well. My mum was more left-wing than I was. My dad was a little bit left-wing, and none of us particularly sort of in the middle between dictatorial and liberal. So that was interesting. We can pass some time. So I'm going to write that out as another action. So I think if you just Googled political compass, it would come out. And then within Labour, you've got heaps and heaps of groups that you can join. So Andy Flanagan, who you had at Cabaret a little while ago, he runs Christians on the Left. And they have Christian socialist values, which is all about fraternity, that as I can see it, which is sort of kind of brotherhood. And that really is similar, I think, how I understand it, is about loving your neighbour as yourself, that sense of being in a group together. And you can look up on the internet what Christian socialism means and what Christians on the Left stand for. But they're a good group to support. I think I said this last night, that they support, and it's good to find other like-minded people that feel the same way that you do. So one of the difficulties, I think, as I come into politics, is to not see it as a sport. When I was at university, one of my friends wanted to become a journalist, a sports journalist. And, she did eventually, but she had to start off being a business journalist. And she explained it to me that actually the two are very, very similar. If you look at business, and particularly if you're writing for financial pages, the stocks and shares going up and down is just like the sports results. And the kind of key people, the chief executives and how they move between different companies, is the same as sports players and how they move. And actually, it's quite similar, isn't it? How people follow their stocks and shares, the sort of different set of people that follow the football results. But actually, it's sort of the same. It's like a sport. And politics is exactly the same. Watching the polls go up and down and who said what, and the people that say this, that, and have a go at that person is exactly the same as the sports pages, sadly. But what I want to do and what I want to try to do is not get involved in that kind of sports side. You've got to have an eye to what's going on and who's saying what and what the polls are doing. But that isn't what it's about. That's not why I want to be in politics. I want to be in politics because I care, because I think I've got values and something to say. So that is a prayer point. So not to get distracted by the sport of it. Does that make sense? Have I explained that okay? Yes, and another thing people say to me is I couldn't join Labour because they can't stand Harriet Harman. But Harriet Harman is there for a little while, probably. But she does not define Labour. And she will move on eventually. You have to look beyond the people. So what do you do once you've joined a political party? So I only joined, 20 months ago. I think it's February last year. And at the very basic, most basic level, is that you get to choose candidates. So within a month of joining, I was sent... this booklet here. Which had a list of all the people standing for the National Executive Committee of Labour. So that's all the people that want to decide how it goes forward, and that includes one person who works for Andy Flanagan, so I was able to vote for him. It also was the voting for the Police and Crime Commissioner candidates, so I got to choose who they were as well. And this was within 1 month of joining. So I shall... Do you want to pass that round or shall I leave it to the end? Oh, you could pass it round and look at it as I'm talking. So instantly, just with signing up, you then have a voice. And actually, the Labour Party's tiny. So I suspect you've heard about Falkirk and the kind of things going on there. There's only 110 Labour members in Falkirk. So those 110 people get to choose who will be the MP in Westminster, because Falkirk is a safe Labour seat. So the power that they have to choose that person is immense, really. And I think So I would just encourage Christians, really, just to join a party so you can at least vote. You don't have to go to any meetings. This comes through the post. You can send your vote back by post, and you're having a direct input into the people that can stand if Carol passes on. Carol, choose her.
Actually, don't pass it round because people are just looking.
No, it's fine. I'm not bothered, actually. Really. So there is the opportunity to choose Christians that do stand. So if more people kind of come forward, more Christians stand, then we can kind of vote for each other and hopefully get people in. And then in the past few months, we've been voting for who's our MEP candidate. So that was 10 people to choose, and we had to choose women separately from men, blah, blah, blah. I'll go that way. And again, these people have a great... But whoever won wins that will get a seat in Europe, because Labour will get one in the South East. It probably doesn't make any sense. I'll explain it if you need to know more detail. But essentially what I'm saying is, even just joining a political party, you have the chance to choose candidates and to choose candidates that have the same values as you. They write a little description about themselves and you get to choose them. And then the other thing that I've been able to do is meet tons and tons of MPs and other people that want to be MPs, and I met the PCC, I've met most of the people in that booklet, and that's just by turning up to events. So, you know, you have got this choice, you have got this opportunity, I think, just to have either to put your own agenda across, but also just to offer to be friends with people, and to, you can pray for them, you don't have to tell them you're praying, you know, just to be friends, really, with these people. I went on the Future Candidates programme for Labour, and that was in Sheffield, in this very Marxist building with lots of Marxist posters on the wall. It was fascinating. And met other people that wanted to be future MPs. And they have since stood for selection. Some have been selected, some haven't been. But the point is, I now know these people. I have their mobile numbers. They will possibly end up in Parliament, and I will have their mobile number and be able to email them, and they know who I am. They follow me on Twitter, so if I want to raise an issue, I can, you know, send it to them on Twitter. So it's all about these opportunities, networking, and getting to know them. So I'll give you I've got to write prayer down for praying for candidates. Right, so in Portsmouth and Aldershot, I've been involved in setting up two anti-trafficking groups. This has come out of Stop the Traffic, so they encourage... Have you heard of Stop the Traffic in London with Steve Chalk? They have this kind of local model of setting up groups that aim to create communities where trafficking cannot take place. So it's not about us rescuing victims or anything, it's about raising awareness that trafficking takes place so that others will, if they see signs of trafficking, report it to the police. And just by the church that we now go to in the centre of Aldershot, just round the side, is a massage parlour. And it's just down the road from the football club. It's quite seedy. There's Asian girls that work in there. And I mean, we could never be certain that it was trafficking, but we have our suspicions. And on the Sun has an online business directory, and you can go and look up all sorts of things on there. And this massage parlour was advertising in the Sun's online business directory, and they use this kind of language that's, you know, happy ending guaranteed is how they describe these massages. And actually someone had posted a review of their massage, which was just basically saying that he'd had sex with one of the masseuses. So we're kind of onto this massage parlour. And because I go to the Labour group as well, I know the councillors in Aldershot. So I was able to raise it with the councillor for that ward and say to him that we're really concerned about these premises. We can't say it's trafficking for definite, but there's definitely something going on that's dodgy, and we can't prove sex has necessarily taken place, but certainly the girls are vulnerable. And he's raised that in the council. And he, too, was aware of another massage parlour where a woman had been employed for about 3 months, and then she was forced to perform sex, and there was this kind of hidden room downstairs. So between the two of us, we've been able to compile this evidence that something's going on. And we've also been able to look at other councils around the country, and they license their massage parlours. So it's not about making prostitution legal, but it's just almost like a health and safety thing, and checking that the women have got the right working conditions and their, you know, all the kind of bureaucracy side. But you can use that bureaucracy to close places down, because you might not be able to prove that there's sex, paid for sex, happening on these premises, but you can kind of get them on the health and safety and hopefully close them down. So this has been a really good example, I think, of how I've been able to work with the people that I've met through Labour, the local branch, to achieve something or to work towards something that has an impact on the things, you know, the unseen things that I value. So I'd like to take on the Sun as well. That might be the next thing, to close down their online business directory, because it's just awful. You can type in all sorts of things and all these reviews come up, and it's not right that the Sun is advertising it. But Alex, this councillor, and I are good friends, and actually he's in Nepal right now visiting the women's home that I run, so there's kind of a good parallel there of us sharing what we're doing. So again, I'll add praying for the licensing to be introduced. Okay, I'm doing all right for time. Another thing that when we were posted to Aldershot, again, I shared this last night, we were quite excited, because as a military wife and someone who's got an interest in Nepal, Aldershot is the place to be. Politically, it's the biggest issue in Aldershot is the massive influx of former Gurkhas. There's 9,000. Out of a population of 80,000, there's 9,000 Gurkhas have arrived in the last 5 years, former Gurkhas, who are very impoverished. They've come out of the hills of Nepal, just living off benefits, really, and then really struggling. And I teach some of them on a Monday, actually, teach them English. It's good fun, because most of them are deaf. Anyway. So we applied through Labour to get a grant of money to run an event with all these former Gurkhas. So next March we'll be holding an event for about 200 with food, and we're getting some MPs down from Westminster to meet them, and it's basically to encourage them to take part in the democratic process. It's to encourage them to perhaps become councillors in the future, to stand and to get to know their existing councillors really, and raise the issues that matter to them. So that's, I think, exciting for me. I mean, if we do move on, I will have at least done this event, and I definitely see a purpose in me being an Aldershot just to have arranged this event really. And the other thing we're tackling is credit unions. I don't know if you've kind of followed this. So Stella Creasy is the MP that's kind of really raised the issue of Wonga and all these payday loan companies. And then we're going to a Church of England church now. And so Archbishop Welby has spoken out about these as well. And the church will be introducing a credit union to the town, to Aldershot, where there's a massive problem with people borrowing money. Sadly, one of the problems with the Gurkhas is gambling. It's part of their culture and their festivals that they gamble. So there's a huge number of gambling shops, bookies, in Aldershot now. And then to go with them, all the payday loan companies, because they've probably run out of money and get into debt, sadly. So I've been able to bridge the gap between the church a little, and it's the kind of coming out of Labour, the councillors, that want to introduce this new credit union. So there's a reason for everything, I think. So local branch meetings are very, very dull. We have ours in a church hall like this. I was talking yesterday about the one in the social club in Portsmouth. I'm quite glad to have moved on from that one. That always felt a bit unsafe when I was walking in and out. But the nice church hall in Farber is much better. But it's incredibly just dull. They were having a conversation one day about when you deliver leaflets, should you go clockwise or anti-clockwise round the road? I just kept quiet. Oh dear, I think it's best to vary so you don't always turn the same way. But we work through an agenda and it's always the same. But I think it's just important to turn up. You just have to get through these evenings. They're once a month. But it's what happens in between the meetings that's so important, the relationships that you make. And just sort of offering your opinions on things if you happen to be discussing something useful, not leaflets. I just kept quiet then. But Yeah, if you wanted to join, I would encourage you to join a political party just so you can vote for the candidates, but then the meetings is the next stage, the local meetings. But it is teamwork, it's good, it's... And a little kind of morale boost for me because I'm like the youngest there. And I have all these people being nice to me all evening, so it's very lovely. But there's really some well-connected people there. So within Aldershot branch, so I attend Farnborough branch in the church hall, but there's also Aldershot branch. And we, the chair of Labour in the South East is a member of that branch, and he's really well-connected. He knows Andy Burnham, who's the Shadow Health Minister, and other MPs, and you know, he has an ear with them. So I feel, again, as in meeting the candidates, that it's important just to be there and just to not to kind of really suck up to these people, but you're in the same circles that they're mixing in. And if you go to conference, you get to sit in the bar with them and drink. Not that I did that this year, but that's what this guy does. You know, that is a possibility. You can just socialise with them. So beyond the meetings, there's then delivering the leaflets, and then you can decide if you want to go clockwise or anti-clockwise when you're doing that. But the really staggering thing is that these councillors have access to so much money and influence within Aldershot and Farnborough, but also beyond. And I was saying last night again, you know, I was just amazed that some of these guys were talking about million-pound projects that they were working on, that they go to committee meetings and huge, huge projects, and they get to shape how the local area is run. Let me move on. So I've already talked a little bit about Christians on the Left with Andy Flanagan. There's lots of other groups that Labour has, and the Tories will be exactly the same, and the Lib Dems. So there's the Labour Women's Network. There's Labour Friends of the Forces that I've written articles for, so that's the military side. There's the Cooperative Party that I've also joined, and when I stood for a ward in May, I stood as a joint candidate for the Labour Party and the Cooperative Party. There's Labour Campaign for International Development that I've joined. That's a fantastic organisation, but I've simply not made any of their meetings yet. And then, of course, Christians on the Left. And all of these kind of working groups offer the chance to shape some policy. So for Christians on the Left, I've looked at immigration. What does a Christian approach to immigration look like? Which was tricky, actually. And I'm not sure that what I produced was particularly good. But the point is, there is a chance to shape policy. There are these working groups, and there are people that you can feed ideas into, and a formal process for then submitting them into Labour. With Christians on the Left, again, we're looking at prejudice against the poor and how that is rife, really, within society. We all hear the word scroungers, don't we, for people living on benefits, as if they're some terrible kind of people, whereas, you know, I'm just not sure that that's right, really. We shouldn't have this prejudice. And again, in schools, you see it where people hide the fact that they're claiming free school meals. So we met up in London, I think about a month ago, to talk about prejudice against the poor, and we'll be taking that forward. So I don't know if that kind of resonates with any of you. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, where you've experienced prejudice against the poor, and any ideas, I guess, for tackling it. And then I've also been to conference for one day in Brighton. I did hear Ed Miliband's speech this year, which was quite exciting. It was like a rock star. We all had to applaud and stand up. But it was fascinating to see it, although you're quite worried about giving your verdict on the speech because you just wonder what the press are going to say, really. But it went round well this year. I'm going to try this. I'm going to turn to one page on the fringe listings and just read a few of the things that are being discussed in the fringe meetings, because I think they're things that Christians should be involved in. So I'm going to go potluck and just turn to the first page. So there's things about the welfare state on this, alternatives to austerity. I think Christians should be involved in that. there's nothing much here. I'm struggling now. Farming, debate on farming. Banking on growth, are local banks the answer? This is a huge issue. I went to a talk with Christians on the Left about this, about local, keeping money local. Things on housing, how do we build communities? That's important, I think. The future of childcare. is another fringe listing. So these are things I think that people in this room are interested in. They're not kind of issues that are vague, that we have nothing to say about. These are really pertinent issues. And then there's obviously quite a few on health and education as well. That didn't work too well. I hope you get the idea. So I would encourage you really just to pray for me, because I'm trying to find my way through all of this. My next stage really is, having turned up, that was what my mentor challenged me to do with politics, just turn up and see what happens. I now have all these groups and all these ways in front of me, different things I could tackle, and I need to start choosing, and I need to start prioritising the things that God wants me to prioritise. I mean, I think I have things that I want to do, but I've not got to listen to that either. I've got to listen to what God wants and what he says I should be prioritising, who I should be spending my time with. I mean, maybe it's Christians on the left all the time, but maybe it should be these other groups, because they need Christians in these other groups. Yes, so obviously I'm not elected to anything at the moment, and I don't even know if I ever will be necessarily, but what I'm trying to do is to use my time to kind of pray and to grapple with issues and to kind of assume that I'm preparing, hopefully, for something in the future. So that, again, is a prayer need. Let me write this down. So I've not got too many actions here. I'll put join a party. I'll just put which policies. And prepare. Because I want to be ready, if the opportunity comes at some point in the future to get elected to something, whether it's local or national, I want to be ready. And I think once it starts, once you're in that position, you don't have time to really reflect and to grapple with issues and to read a lot. So I want to be ready, for that position if it should come my way. And if we are moving on, then I need to pass on the message to you guys, really, to step up as well, to join and get involved, because we may even be out of the country. Who knows what happens? Sometimes my head feels like it's going to explode with all the options. But I would really encourage you to just join, to turn up, to follow that example I hope I've set, that just starts to involve you and just starts to get that voice, because there is such massive issues out there. And no one person can kind of solve all of them. And, you're needed as well. So do ask me any questions. I've got these great leaflets for Christians on the Left, which were designed by Jess Reeve, I found out last night. So do take one of them. And I think that's it.